What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Yes, it is Pomp and Joe without Joe's on vacation, and Austin Bechtold is behind the glass. You can reach him and eventually reach me at 412-928-9370. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And the Fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Now it's time for one of our favorite guests, Mr. Dan Zangrilli.
Oh, come on. You have so many. I can't be. Bob?
You are.
No way.
You're one of our favorite guests because you know a lot about baseball. You do a post-game show that's must listen to, especially the way the Pirates are going. I mean, it's ups and downs. It's all around. It seems like that six-game win streak and the way they won and how dominant they were is 6 years ago already based on what's happened.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And thank you, Bob. I enjoy chatting it up with you guys here every Wednesday. I'm not mystified because, you know, what's that old saying? When, you know, somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And the Pirates, you know, over many, many games this year have told us who they are. And, you know, the six-game homestand, I guess it was a bit of a mirage. I was really impressed by that Cardinals series. The Mets, you could probably poke some holes in it considering, you know, they brought a guy back off a 90-minute rain delay. He wasn't particularly sharp. And then the other guy that they faced, he's had some issues, especially with injury. And there's been all sorts of attrition. They got the Mets at the right time. So I don't want to diminish anything that happened on that homestand. The Cardinal series was great. But, you know, what they have not been able to do on the road, they have just 12 wins all year away from PNC Park. They're five games over 500 at PNC, Bob. They're 26-21. But for whatever reason, it's really becoming a thing here. The fact that they are channeling basically the Colorado Rockies with their road record, which is alarming.
It really is. I mean, you don't expect that given the way they played at home. There have been a lot of close games on the road, too, and they haven't come up with hits. Two in Seattle like that, that all they needed was one big hit, and they couldn't do it. And I felt bad once again for Mitch Keller. Last night he pitched a good game, a quality start. Now, he gave up a home run at the worst possible time. But still, he was in a position to win a game based on the fact he gave up a couple of runs. Anytime you do that, it's listed as quality starts. He has to be one of the leaders in quality starts in the majors this year, isn't he not?
He is, if I'm not mistaken, and not having it off the top of my head. I think he's a top five guy in the as far as sheer volume of quality starts. That's why I want to hang on to him, not to jump ahead. If you had something else up your sleeve, that's why I want to keep him around in a Pirates uniform, if at all possible. But yeah, you can even see last night Don Kelly, in an effort to try to reward him and get him a win, because, you know, he at the time, you know, was getting some leash there. It was a tie game. Kelly's hoping that he's going to be able to get out of things in that seventh inning. He's not able to. He serves up the go-ahead home run, eventually has to take him out after whatever it was, six and two-thirds. So this is his life. This is what he's used to. It's night after night after night. He gives them everything that he can and has been given very little in return in the way of run support. And it's a shame because, you know, he shouldn't be a 10-loss, well, now 11-loss pitcher to that end. Or I guess he didn't factor in the decision, I suppose. But you know what I mean there. This is a tough year from that standpoint. But I give him credit. If you listen to every one of his post-game interviews, Bob, there's not even been a hint of frustration, not even in the tone of his voice, not even in the facial expression. He stayed above it all. I don't know if Mitch Keller 5 years ago does that. He's been a consummate professional about it. He's not thrown his team or teammates under the bus because I think, you know, listen, you know, when your record is something that you take very seriously as a pitcher, even though it's not valued as much as it nearly has been in the past. And it means a lot. And the fact that he's doing his part and everything and everyone around him, they're not holding up their end of the bargain. A lot of times that frustration, it boils over. It'll boil over publicly. With Keller, it hasn't one bit. So I really tip my hat to how he's been a consummate pro this whole year on the field and really off of it in many respects.
I think you can say the same for Paul Skenes. He knows what he's dealing with. He's been victimized by lack of offense just about more than anyone, and yet you know, he comes out of the game. I'm just curious about the 78 pitches, Dan. You may have talked about this, and I missed your take. But when I saw after five innings the other day where he was rolling along after that shaky first inning, which he got bailed out by O'Neill Cruz in that throw to the plate and a good tag by Henry Davis, he was just chalking him up. 10 strikeouts in five innings, looked to be in total command, and yet he was taken out of the game. And then I heard an explanation that it was trying to figure out a way for him to get to the All-Star game, and I had a problem with that. Did you?
Well, no. And I don't know if it's solely the All-Star game. I don't want any of that frustration that anybody has about what they're doing with him to be misguided in thinking that the Pirates are arranging the deck chairs all around that. That they've done this last handful of starts, and I think this is more so taking a look at the big picture. The guy's leading the league in innings. He threw, 160 last year, which really isn't a whole heck of a lot. They don't want to see a hockey spike in his workload. You want to, over time, graduate guys, you know, 20, 25, maybe 30. You're really getting red line area if you're pushing 35 innings from their previous year's total. They call it, I believe, the Verducci rule. There's a lot of data that basically supports that the year prior workload, and if you're able to have a huge spike in innings the following year, there is a propensity for some serious injury. And so if we're going to sit here and talk about the Paul Skenes window and doing everything that you can within this Skenes window to try to maximize it in the way of adding offense, I think you also have to, it would be contradictory to not be as judicious as you possibly can to keep him as healthy as you can within said window. So I think this is more so looking at what he's pacing for heading towards the end of the year, leading the league in innings. I think he's going to blow by this 160 mark, and he'd be well over 200 innings. Well, you're getting into that red line territory, and if you're to push the envelope with him night after night after night after night, and there's always going to be with this club a win on the table that's hanging out there, and every game that not only Skenes pitches, that Keller pitches, the Pirates are going to be within a run. The game's going to be 1-1 in the sixth inning, right? It's not going to be decided by the time that you have to make a decision as a manager. So considering where the Pirates are at in the standings, and Don Kelly even acknowledged this in his pregame chat a few days ago with reporters, that, you know, that they need to be judicious here. And he, in so many words, referenced their record and where the math is. I think you absolutely put a governor on Skenes. I don't think you shut him down. I think you do much of what you did last year, because they were very free and easy with Skenes as far as the innings are concerned. A lot of sevens, a few eights out there. They pushed the envelope. They gave him those extra innings. Well, you can't do that over the course of 32 starts. You can do it here and there. The Pirates have already done it in respects with when they were going to grab their extra inning or grab their extra two out of him. Well, now, considering where the math is, record and standings, you gotta take care of this guy. And maybe you skip a start. Maybe you see a few more of these outings. You get him on track to a point where his total workload at the end of September is not in a dangerous spot where he is then susceptible to injury. Because, well, then, everything that we've been talking about, hoping for, ranting and raving, Bob, it basically goes up in smoke.
Yeah, Dan, and I totally agree with what you said, but on this specific day when he was mowing people down five innings, like you said, you could skip a start, you can do some things when it's clear that he's, you know, his pitch count is way ahead and maybe they're not in a game or whatever the case may be, but he's always in a game. And that may be the biggest sign that he's racking up the innings because he's in every game, and so he's going to be out there as long as he can. But that specific day, I thought the way he was pitching seemed like there was no stress on him at all, and I would have expected at least one more inning on that particular day. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
And listen, you're right, and it's not unreasonable to think that, but the scenario that you're painting, that's going to be every day, every start with this guy, every scenario with this offense, right, where they're not going to ever build him, practically speaking, a six-run lead where you're going to be able to take him out in the fourth inning, or very, very few are the occasions where his pitch count is all out of whack and he's getting, you know, knocked around the ballpark. So the scenario that you're perhaps hoping for or anticipating in the future probably will never come. I think you got to take care of the guy, you know, in the here and the now. And everything centers and revolves around him. Any plans or any hopes or puncher's chances that they have in this, let's call it 2-year window, maybe even it's a 1-year window, the way that the rhetoric is forming around the collective bargaining agreement in 2027, you know, that they want to make sure that he is in play for 2026. And I know a lot of folks are going to point to Nolan Ryan and 40 years ago, and this was never an issue back then. I get that, but we don't live in that world anymore at all. And I think that there's enough data points and enough unfortunate examples. I'll give you one. Jameson Taillon. Mm-hmm. 2017, Bob, look at his workload. 2018, look at his big jump in workload. The Pirates were pushing for, you know, some postseason aspirations. They finished with 82 wins. Well, what happened to Jameson Taillon in 2019? I think that's a really good case study that was very much underreported. There was a huge jump in his workload, and I think that's the type of stuff that you have to avoid with Skeens, because that's the stuff that's within your control. That's just being a good steward by the best asset that you've maybe had in your franchise's history.
So last night we saw Isaac Matza come in the ninth inning with one out, first and third, after Santana got himself into a little bit of a mess. It seems to me that Isaac Mattson is moving into Donnie Kelly's high-leverage situations more and more and more. And he's met most of those challenges. Last night I thought was a difficult one just because he inherited that situation. But overall, do you think he's moving into that area to be a, if not a closer, at least somebody they could rely on in the eighth inning?
You think? I mean, I spent a lot of time on the post-game show discussing it, and I wish – you know, questions were asked of Don Kelly as to what he was thinking in his mindset as to not only, you know, keeping Keller out there, but how he went about the bullpen usage from bringing Santana back out for a second inning. They had Bednar loosening to not using Bednar, to going to Mattson over Bednar. That showed me a ton. The fact that, you know, David Bednar didn't pitch in a tie game in the ninth inning on the road. He's the National League reliever of the month for June. And to answer your question specifically about Mattson, you felt comfortable to be able to go to him over Bednar because you felt that, and I'm assuming, and I don't want to put words in Don Kelly's mouth here, that I feel so confident in this guy that I love my chances. I can actually keep my closer in play, assuming that Mattson's going to come through here, and if we get a run in the 10th inning, well, I've got my closer to be able to, on the road, to get the final three outs in the bottom half of an inning. That's very much an unconventional, modern way of managing. They managed that way 25 years ago. You held your closer back because you would potentially need him on the road to get the, whether it's the bottom of the ninth or the bottom of the 10th, 11th, etc. But he is, let's put it this way, by this measure that Don Kelly showed us last night, he holds Mattson, I think, in the same regard as one of his top-tier, high-leverage guys that clearly, with the game on the line, he does not at all hesitate to going to, and that may mean even going to Mattson over Bednar, which is a huge shot in the arm, a huge vote of confidence, I would think, for Isaac Mattson.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No question about it. Getting back to what you said earlier, and Dan Zangrilli is our special guest here, Mitch Keller. You made it clear that you don't want to trade him. What would it take for you to change your mind?
Well, I'm not completely against it. I am, I think, against trading anybody that isn't on an expiring contract or a reliever. And when I say this, I'll talk about Bednar and Santana specifically because they have an extra year of control. I don't feel, unless the Pirates are completely overwhelmed here, that there needs to be this sense of urgency at the deadline to be making these deals on some of these really valuable guys. Keller, let's say Reynolds is part of a trade talk equation, or even Hayes. I really don't see a scenario where you're getting the best return on July 31st. That may be on November 30th or December 15th. So it's not so much that if I had my druthers about it, I don't want to trade Keller because of the things that we mentioned. He's a walking, talking quality start. He's as consistent as they come. But I have hesitation, especially at the trade deadline, because the biggest returns are typically when we're talking about guys with control or really marquee guys. You get, I think, a better haul historically when doing these deals in the offseason or at the winter meetings, because a lot of the teams that are in contention, you know, they don't want to subtract from their roster to give you guys. I would love to see a bona fide bat. And when I say a bona fide bat, it's a bat with major league experience. I'm not sure I necessarily want to take what is now turning out more and more to be a flyer, even on these highly productive AAA guys. Jack Suwinski is a prime example of this, Bob. The transition from AAA to the big leagues. Why do we want to take on, even though they're promising, maybe they're top 10 prospects in the other team's organization, maybe they're being blocked in an organization and they have a bright future, maybe they do pan out and they turn out to be guys. Why do you have to take on that risk? Because I think that there's more risk now in today's game than ever before of trying to take on a AAA guy that is darn near close to being big league ready. I want to see the Pirates, if at all possible, and I think the possibility of this happening is in the offseason more so than it is July 31st, of them trading big leaguers for big leaguers to solve their needs. So I don't want to see Keller go, number one, because you subtract big time out of your rotation. I don't want to see Keller go at the deadline for the reasons that I just laid out, because I don't feel, and I could be wrong here, that you are getting the best return for him. You don't need to be in a hurry to do this. You can wait 4 months, and perhaps that patience will serve you well to position yourself much better going into 26.
Two things on that, Dan. So one, do you also feel that way because of who is making the ultimate trades? And don't you think that opposing teams will panic, or at least there'll be at least one that panics and will overpay at the deadline compared to in the offseason? I think about it like, what, the Penguins not trading Rickard Rakell, and now it seems like, oh, well, they could get a return. Maybe it'll be decent, but maybe not as good as the deadline. Do you see it? You don't see it that way?
No, because what I want to see is I want to see a bona fide bat returned to the Pirates that is big league ready. And at the trade deadline, teams that are in contention and fighting for whether it's the final wild card spot or whether it's the division title, they're not going to want to give you a bona fide bat because it's going to be subtracting from the current makeup of their roster. If we're talking about bona fide big leaguers that you're going to be getting back in return, an opposing GM will say, well, yeah, I've got this guy that's not helping my big league club right now. He's the AAA guy that, you know, we think he has a bright future. He's a top 10 guy. You know, we have him projected in our 26 lineup. Well, I would otherwise be amenable to that. But Austin, as we've seen here, whether it's from Henry Davis or Jack Suwinski or others, look at Caglione, how badly he's struggling for Kansas City. We've seen so many examples around the league of this chasm, this inability to graduate to the big league level, and it takes years sometimes. And the Pirates don't have years. They have a 4 or 5 year window on the players, so they need something or someone that is turnkey that hits the ground running. No, I'm not factoring in the current general manager making the particular decision here or thinking there could be a change in that regard in the offseason. That's not part of the calculus. I just think it's what the market is going to bear on July 31st versus what the market is going to bear on December 15th.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. All right, if we discount Keller in this, at some point, something has to be made here, and I don't know if this is the right time to do it or it has to be next year in the offseason, which is something they didn't do this past offseason. If there's a guy on this team who you think can bring in a big return at the trade deadline, and when I'm talking about big return, it doesn't necessarily have to be four starting players. You know what I'm saying? Somebody is there someone out there the teams would be looking to? Besides Skeens and Keller, let's take those guys out of the conversation. Who would you look to get the most in a return?
And are you talking about one of the guys that's under control, Bob?
Anyone on the roster, under control or not?
Obviously, you know, a Reynolds or a Keller is going to fetch you, I guess, the biggest return. But again, going back to my point, it's not going to be as big a returner. It's not going to be the instantaneous offense I think that the Pirates would be looking for. So I think you're going to get a return on Keller and or Reynolds or any of these guys that you would deal July 31st. But I just don't think, again, it's going to be nearly as good in December. But I think, you know, I'll just take, because let's call the four guys on expiring contracts, Heaney, IKF, Frazier, and Tommy Pham. They're as good as gone, right? I think IKF, of those four, will probably fetch you the biggest return. When we're looking at this thing on August 1 and we're evaluating everything that the Pirates have gotten here, we unwrap these presents on Christmas morning, I think the favorite present that we'll have is whatever the IKF deal yields, because offense is a premium. Everybody wants it. Probably in many respects more so than pitching. Heaney, but it's, you know, he's been a flip of the coin. His home and road splits are really drastic. I mean, if Pham keeps this up, that could be something that's really good. But I would say IKF, practically speaking, when we're looking back on this and assuming they don't deal Bednar or Santana, I think IKF is going to fetch you a really, really nice piece because of all the gloves that he can wear. If somebody gets hurt, it's a professional at bat. He basically completes your lineup. If you're just missing that one piece as a competitor, think of how the Pirates were in 13. You know, you needed that one piece, that little cherry on the top that turned out to be maybe like a Marlon Byrd or a Justin Morneau. I think IKF could be that guy for a lot of teams. And then you factor in all that position flexibility. I feel clubs would overpay for that.
I know how your stance is on pitching depth. And I agree with it because I think it's one thing to say, well, look at this depth that's on paper. It's another thing to look at these guys and say a lot of them are unproven, so we really don't know. But having said that, would you be at all agreeable to trading a Bubba Chandler if you got the right deal in return?
I guess, yeah. I mean, with the caveat being, well, what is the return?
That's a good question.
Is it turnkey, big league, bona fide talent that makes your offense better instantaneously, that you don't have to wait? We don't have to develop it. You know, it can parachute in here, and it can, the day that it walks through the clubhouse doors, make your lineup deeper and better, and do so on a nightly basis consistently. That's what the Pirates need. Period. End of sentence. And you should be able and willing to make any deals for that to occur. I don't want to see them, if at all possible, to take on any sort of risk. Well, you know, there's this guy that, you know, we really like, and we think that he has some really high upside, maybe higher upside than the guy that we would get with the sure thing. And I want somebody that can get them to 4 runs per game, period, end of sentence, without cannibalizing the pitching depth. How do I do that? I mean, that's, you know, I'm probably smoking something, but it's, you know, yeah, I would absolutely consider it, assuming that you get a bona fide big league bat that's going to, it's going to, you know, really move the needle here in a big way.
Is that just one guy, though, Dan? I feel like it has to be two.
Yeah, yes. I mean, yeah, there's not one big, you know, magic bullet here at all. The lineup needs to be lengthened. It needs to be better. It needs to perform as it did in the 6-0 homestand. If you watch the at-bats and if you looked at the contributors, much of the damage done in that 6-0 homestand, guys, against the Mets and Cardinals were the 7, 8, and 9 hitters. It was Hayes coming up with the two-out, two-strike hits that extended innings, that instead of getting nothing, they wind up getting 5, you know, in that first inning in one of the games against the Mets. Hayes fights off a 2-2 pitch with 2 outs, a 2-run single. Those things are pennies from heaven. Well, then you get back-to-back home runs following that, and then all of a sudden the game's over. It's a 5-run first inning, and forget about it. Davis chimes in with a 4-for-4 game. All of the unsuspecting characters, the guys that we have been clamoring for to help this club, you need to lengthen your lineup. But no, when we're talking, but you also do need a consistent RBI guy that is going to hit fourth, that it's going to hit fifth, that you can just count on, look to in those key situations, that is going to always find a way to come through, and that will post up for 150 games a year. That's what this offense needs, whether that's a third baseman, whether that's a right fielder, who knows, but that's what this club needs. And sure, there has to be better supporting actors around him, and those can be internal, but maybe you know, potpourri those in at a little bit of a lower cost.
One final thing before we let you go here, Dan, and that would be O'Neill Cruz. Can he win the home run derby now that he's in it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we're talking, I mean, they don't throw sliders from the left side.
yeah, you go swing and miss.
Yeah. I mean, if Stephen Morales puts it on his barrel, you're going to, yes. I mean, I would say he would have as good an opportunity as anybody, whether you had a full roster of participation and he were among the participants, Alonso, Judge, Otani. I feel that the Cruz, when we're talking about batting practice here, batting practice, that it would, yeah, his tools are as good, and this is a skills competition at the end of the day,
right?
And I don't think anybody can debate that he has some of, if not the best tools of anyone on planet Earth.
No question about it, Dan. Always good stuff. Appreciate it. What time are you on the air tonight?
Well, I'm actually going to take I'm banging this one off, and then I don't know. It's probably Hathorne or somebody.
Okay, but I see Jeff here. I thought.
Yeah, I'm gonna hibernate here for the All-Star break, and then I'll be back with you here.
Well deserved. Well deserved, Dan. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dan Zangrilli, host of the pre and post game shows. Although it looks like Jeff Hathorne will be in that hot seat tonight.
You don't just live in your home; you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.